This is John Finnemore's souvenir programme.
Look, David, I don't know what to tell you. All of your books are selling extremely well.
Not well enough.
No, but look, Henry VIII is in the top...
I'm sorry?
Sorry. David Starkey's reign of Henry VIII, personalities and politics...
Thank you.
...is in the top 50 ranking in Amazon. Monarchy's... David Starkey's Monarchy, the History of England and her rulers from the Tudors to Windsors is about to be reprinted. They sell really well, David.
How are they doing compared to colouring books?
Well, obviously, not if you compare them to colouring books.
Mm-hmm. What about ladybird books?
Look, David, I've told you before, you can't expect to compare yourself to the giants in the industry. Your books have paragraphs.
Well, I have an idea. You know the Beatles?
Yes, I know the Beatles.
Very popular musical act, the Beatles, sold many copies. Now, their drummer was a man named Ringo Starr.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Did you know that wasn't his real name? His real name was Richard Starkey.
Oh, I see. Is he a relation?
Oh, good God, I hope not. No, all I'm saying is Richard Starkey got nowhere. Ringo Starr enjoyed enormous popularity. Therefore, I am changing my name to Dingo Starr.
Dingo Starr.
Yes, what do you want?
I don't know if that's going to work.
I think then we should re-release all of my books. Henry, Model of a Tyrant by Dingo Starr.
No, I...
Elizabeth, A Court in Turmoil by Dingo Starr. Okay. And then release three new books. Dingo Starr's All of the Tudors. Dingo Starr's Colour in All of the Tudors. And the Ladybird book of Dingo Starr's Colour in All the Tudors.
Okay, that's genius.
Naturally.
I'll get straight onto the presses. Thanks, David. Sorry, thanks, Dingo.
Greetings. It is I, Wolverine.
Oh, yes. Hello.
From the X-Men.
Yes, I know.
I have returned.
So I see.
Once again, I require your particular services.
Well, that's what we're here for. So, shall we shampoo it first, or do you want me to cut it dry?
Just cut it dry.
All right. Well, sit yourself down, Mr. Wolverine. What are we doing then? Bit of a trim, maybe? Take a bit of the weight off the top?
I want the usual.
Okay, so all sort of boofy up on top.
It's not boofy. My hair isn't boofy.
No.
It's just naturally very vigorous.
Right. Yes.
I think it's to do with my mutant healing powers.
Yes, shouldn't wonder. Right, so all sort of big and vigorous up on top. And then what do you think, Mr. Wolverine, this time, shall we finally lose these little tufty ear shapes in your hair?
No! No, of course not. I don't know why you always say that. I am Wolverine. I must have ears in my hair.
So that people know you're a Wolverine.
Yes. No, I'm not a Wolverine. I'm just Wolverine. But yes, I have ears like a Wolverine in my hair.
Right. Of course, you've got your real ears as well, haven't you? That down here, your human ears, I mean, the ones you hear out of.
Yes, of course I have my human ears.
Yes. You don't think it looks a bit odd at all? Your human ears down here, and then your little tufty hair ears.
No, I don't think it looks odd. I think it looks like Wolverine.
Okay, right. That's just the other thing. It might sort of look, if it doesn't look odd, is it might look a little bit adorable.
No, they don't. I am Wolverine. I am not adorable.
Well, no, you're not. Not at all. But your little tufty hair ears, they are a bit adorable. Especially when you're doing that sort of brooding scowl thing. You do. Oh, that's the one, yes. It's very good, it's very manly, very heroic, and then up top you've got your little tufty hair ears. Like a big scowly teddy bear.
But how will people know I am Wolverine if I don't have ears in my hair?
You know, a lot of superheroes wear costumes. You know, like Superman. Do you know him?
No, we're from different comic universes. Oh.
That's a shame. Well, he has a cape, you see, and he's got a big S on his chest. You could do that. You could have a big W.
W, yeah. I tried that, but people just shouted. They didn't shout Wolverine.
Oh, dear. Well, I hate to say it, but I do think that might have something to do with the little tufty hair ears.
All right, fine. Very well. Cut them off.
Oh, good call, Mr. Wolverine. You won't regret it. There, look at that now. What a handsome fella.
Yes. Yes, it does look more normal that way.
Of course it does. Now, what about these ridiculous
sideburns? The sideburns stay!
There now follows an open letter from John to all the Radio 4 listeners who don't know the first thing about Wolverine.
Hi, guys. Sorry about that. He's a character from superhero comics and films who has a haircut with two little tufty ears in it. I mean, you probably worked out that much from the sketch. Sorry that it was otherwise a fairly baffling 3 minutes for you. In my defence, I just find his little tufty hair ears really funny.
There now follows an open letter from John to all the Radio 4 listeners who know lots and lots and lots about Wolverine.
Hi, guys. Sorry about that. As you probably guessed, I don't know anything about Wolverine apart from what I just told those other guys. I haven't seen the films or read the comics. I've just seen him on posters. I did think about watching one of the films before I wrote the sketch, you know, to find out how he talks and so on, but in the end, I didn't do that. So I just wrote him as a sort of growly Batman. I'm sorry if that's wrong, though I bet it's not very far wrong. In my defence, I just find his little tufty hair ears really funny.
There now follows an open letter from John to Radio 4 listeners who know vaguely who Wolverine is and find his little tufty hair ears really funny.
You are my people. Never change.
Hi, you said to pop in.
Oh, hi. Yeah, yeah, come in.
All well, I hope.
Oh, yeah. No, look, I mainly just wanted to congratulate you on all the fantastic ideas for reptiles that you've been coming up with.
Oh, thank you, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, you are on fire at the moment. Gecko, instant classic. The skink, love it.
Thank you. Is there a box?
Well, it's just, well, the only one I was going to just touch base with you about was, this guy.
What, the snake? No!
Hmm.
No, the snake is... It's the flagship of the whole reptile line.
Oh, OK. I don't know if maybe I've only been sent an early prototype or something. It's just the version that I've got, it's just sort of a tube.
Well, I wouldn't call it a tube.
Wouldn't you?
I mean, obviously, it's tubular.
OK, so it is meant to look like this.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right. So... No wings, no legs.
No.
So it can't move.
Oh, yeah, it can. It'll wiggle.
Wiggle?
Wiggle, yeah. It's minimalist. It's beautiful.
Okay, because, you know, I've been where you are now. I know what it's like. And if you were, you know, really up against it, because you've been working so hard on the chameleon, and, you know, at 4:45 on a Friday, you kind of just... dashed off the snake. Mm. I would understand, you know? I wouldn't mind. I'm the guy who did the slug.
No, it's not like the slug. I love the snake. The snake is my masterpiece. It's the best thing I've ever done.
Oh, okay. Okay, I mean, when you put it like that, I can't help take it a bit personally.
Why?
You know, it's hard not to. That's the chap who invented legs.
Oh, no. No, legs are great.
Well, I do think they're pretty good.
No, they're amazing, really. Mm? But, mm? But we are using them a lot.
Of course we are. They're great.
They are, but we're using them on everything. Ever since fish, everything's had legs. We've even given birds legs.
Birds need legs. They stand on trees.
Oh, well, they do now because we've given them legs.
Look, I'll compromise you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to dial back on legs? Fine, I respect that. Let's just give it one leg.
One leg?
Yep. Deal?
What, like coming out the middle of its body?
No, obviously not. No, on the end, where you've got the tail now. So not compromising your sleek design aesthetic, but allowing it to hop about.
No, I'm sorry, but even one leg.
Right. Okay, fine. And it's your sign-off. I will tell you one thing, though. The humans are going to find it creepy.
They're not!
They are.
What, like as creepy as the tarantula?
Oh, nice. You know I hold my hands up to the tarantula. You know, it was back when legs were just beginning to catch on. I admit it, I overdid it, I just assumed the more legs, the better. And you know, there were successes from that era, like the octopus. And there were failures, like the tarantula.
And the millipede?
Oh, come on, the millipede doesn't count. I was drunk. What I'm saying is, yes, the humans found eight legs creepy, but trust me, they will find no legs just as creepy, if not creepier.
I'm sorry, I just think you're wrong. No one could find snakes creepy. The snake is beautiful. It's the finest expression of our art. Frankly, I think it's going to be pretty much everyone's favourite animal.
Go on then, put your snake into production. And you know what? I hope I'm wrong.
Thank you. I knew you'd back me up.
Yeah, sure. Go on then. Up you go. Oh, just one thing. I mean, obviously don't give it teeth. I'm sure he heard me.
John, I hear you've worked with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, really? So tell me, what's he like?
Oh, he's lovely. He is a really nice guy. He's down to earth. He's very funny. It's just great to be around.
Yeah. What's he really like?
Well, okay, just between us. He does have a bit of a temper. And he won't let anyone look him directly in the eye. And I'm pretty sure he steals things.
Right. But what's he really like?
Oh, well, I suppose deep down, he's probably a classic extroverting sensory Jungian archetype.
But what's he really like?
He's an adult Caucasian male. Above average height, mild wear on upper right molars.
No, what's he really like?
He's an omnivorous bipedal mammal.
What's he really like?
He's a collection of atoms temporarily acting as systems.
But what's he really like?
He's a high-functioning sociopath who lives in Baker Street and goes around London solving crimes.
Do you know what? That is exactly how he comes across on the telly.
Very well, then. Return to your tents. For if we make haste tomorrow, we are only one day's march from our glorious return to Rome.
Remember, you are but a man.
Thank you, slave. Men! Be sure that word of our victory over Mithridates will have preceded us, and so prepare to be received as heroes, nay, demigods!
Remember, you are but a man.
Yes, thank you. So, all to bed, for tomorrow we march to immortal glory!
Remember, you are but a man.
Yes, actually, slave, could I have a word with you?
Me, master?
Yep, you.
I live but to serve your Imperial Majesty.
Well...
Remember, you are but a man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, it's sad, actually. That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
What?
The, remember you are but a man thing.
Oh, sorry. Am I not saying it often enough?
Yes, you definitely are.
Oh, remember you are but a man.
Thank you. No, the thing is, look, no one was more in favour than I when the Senate first proposed that imperators should have a slave to whisper that phrase in their ear. It's a terrific idea, a fitting corrective against human vanity.
Indeed.
Yes. The only thing is, after 3 solid years of it, I think we might have overestimated the danger.
Really?
It turns out I'm fine. I think I've definitely got the message now. I'm mortal, not a god, but a man. Message received and understood. Message, if anything, becoming a tiny bit irritating.
So you are dismissing me?
Well, no, I don't think that's exactly the way to go. I think the populace quite like seeing you there, knowing you're whispering.
Remember, you are
yes.
But a man.
Yes! Exactly. But perhaps we could, you know, tweak the wording a bit.
Tweak it how?
Well, it's only the word but that's a problem, really. Remember, you are a man would be much less distracting. Maybe even, remember, you are the man.
I don't know.
I mean, it's still essentially the same message.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I do think it needs to convey the idea of mortality.
Okay, but I mean, that doesn't necessarily have to be about me, does it? How about if you whispered, remember, I am but a man?
I think you already know that I am but a man.
Yes. I do know that. I am very aware that you are mortal, slave. Aware of that indeed.
Oh.
Yes. So, give it some thought before I return to Rome,
eh?
Thank you! Thank you, Romans! Thank you!
Remember...
Yes?
Remember...
Think carefully.
to pick up some figs on the way home.
You're doing a lovely job.
Hello, my name is Patsy Straightwoman. Though I say it myself, I have gained a reputation as one of the most dedicated and least funny interviewers in radio sketch comedy. Over the past 5 years, I have fearlessly delivered feed lines and setups to a huge variety of different men, who all sound a bit like John Finnemore.
They all sound like John Finnemore.
Yes, they do.
Come on, one of them was French.
If you say so. But now, I'm about to step out from behind the clipboard and embark on an exciting new career as an investigative reporter in my new show, Behind Closed Doors, in which I, Patsy Straightwoman, fearlessly infiltrate some of the most secretive and impenetrable places in the world. The Grand Lodge of the Masons, the Bilderberg Group, the Vatican. But we start with perhaps the most enigmatic of them all. That special calf they have on ferries that's only for lorry drivers. What goes on in there? Why aren't they allowed to mix with the rest of us? I was determined to find out, and my quest would take me on a journey, because that's how ferries work. Well, here I am on deck H, right outside the special caff they have that's only for lorry drivers. For 3 months, I have immersed myself in the ways of lorries and their drivers, hoping to pass amongst them as one of their own. Now, I must put it to the test. Yorkie Bar, don't fail me now.
Who goes there?
Patsy Trucker Woman.
Lorry driver or not a lorry driver?
Lorry driver.
Only this caff's for lorry drivers only.
Well, that's good, because I am a lorry driver, so it's exactly the right place for me.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I've been driving my lorry around all day. I've driven it up, I've driven it down. Now I've driven it onto this boat, and I want to have a cup of tea.
Well, she talks the talk.
She certainly does. You can't be too careful.
Yeah, true enough, true enough. Where are you going to in this lorry of yours?
Portugal.
Carrying what?
Port.
You're taking port to Portugal?
Of course. They love it there. Can't get enough of the stuff. They've named their country after it.
Oh, fair enough.
What colour is your lorry?
Blue.
Oh, some lorries are blue.
They are. And she said it quickly.
Yeah, I noticed that. All right, then, in you go.
Thank you.
Oh, one last thing, though.
Yes?
If you're going to Portugal, you must know my friend Pedro.
Yes, I do.
Oh, great. Well, tell him Steve says hi.
Will do.
You just gave yourself away, little lady. My name's not Steve.
Right, but how could I possibly have known that?
Oh, I should have lied about Pedro's name.
Don't beat yourself up, mate.
No, but I keep doing this. All right, in you go.
And so I did. Deep into the heart of the special calf they have on ferries that's only for lorry drivers. I thought I'd steeled myself for anything I might find behind those doors, but nothing could have prepared me for what I saw. It's so beautiful! The light from the crystal chandeliers glinted off the cufflinks and tiaras of the lorry drivers as they danced their lorry drivers' quadrille. At the tables, lorry drivers feasted on roast swan, steamed lobster, and some sort of posh vegetarian option. At the bar, lorry drivers sipped their cocktails as they gazed out to sea.
Tenet. Devo.
How good to see you.
Likewise.
It's been too long.
It has.
Far too long.
Yes.
Yes.
Tell me, how is your lorry?
Tolerable. Tolerable. And how is your lorry?
It suffices.
Have you been driving it today?
I have.
Shall you drive it tomorrow?
I shall. Shall you?
Naturally. After all, what is a lorry driver if he is never driving his lorry?
But not everything was rosy in this glittering paradise. Elsewhere, I saw the viciousness lurking beneath the gilded... gilt? Gold? Anyway.
Why, if it isn't little Tommy Riggs.
Hello, Keith. It's Tom, actually.
I thought I saw you at embarkation, trundling your dear little lorry onto A-deck.
It's not a little lorry. It's a lorry.
If you say so, darling. How many wheels has she got?
Eight.
Eight? How delightful. Like a divine little van.
It was time for me to leave. My journey was at an end. Calais. My eyes had been opened, my horizons broadened, but most of all, my expectations subverted. A group of people one might stereotypically assume would display one set of attributes had in fact displayed the stereotypical attributes of another group of people entirely. Imagine. Will all my adventures turn out to have this surprising and hilarious format? Find out in the next edition of Behind Closed Doors.
Your Grace, I bring grave news from London. Elizabeth Gloriana, Queen of England, is dead.
Oh, dearie me. Well, I am sorry to hear that. I always liked the woman. I mean, true enough, she had my mother killed, but apart from that, she was always perfectly pleasant.
And thus, Your Grace, you ascend to the throne.
Ooh.
The Queen is dead. Long live King James I of England.
Ooh, well, that's nice.
And sixth of Scotland.
I beg your pardon?
Your Majesty is henceforth styled James I of England and sixth of Scotland.
Oh, I see. So I'm two kings?
No. No, you're one king of two countries.
I see. So, why am I worse in Scotland?
You're not worse, you're just sixth.
Aye, and sixth is worse than first.
No, it's just because there have been five King Jameses of Scotland before you, but none of England.
I see. Still, it's a wee bit confusing, isn't it? Let's just say I'm James the First of both, shall we?
There's already been a James I of Scotland.
Yeah, all right, then. I'll tell you what, let's just add them together, and I'll be James VII of England and Scotland. I don't mind what the number is, so long as it's fair.
But, Your Majesty...
Oh, what about Ireland?
Ireland?
Yes, I'm making of that.
Yes, actually, and bits of France.
Well, what numbers of me are they getting?
They'll get the number one year.
Oh, well, that makes it worse. Why does only Scotland get the rubbish number six me? Scotland's my favourite. It's the one I'm from.
Yes, yes, Your Majesty, I can tell by your accent.
No. All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll add them all up and take the average. So, 6, 7, 8, 9 divided by 4. James, 2 1/4 of everywhere.
No.
No? You can't tell me there's been a James of 2 1/4 before.
No, but it's not regal. It wouldn't command respect.
Well, when it comes to that, neither does calling me by my first name. A bit familiar, is it not? People should call me Mr. Stuart. King Mr. Stuart. The first.
You can't have a king called Mr. Stuart.
Why not?
Because Mr. Stuart sounds like a chemistry teacher.
All right, my full name then. James Stuart. King Jimmy Stewart.
You can't have a king called Jimmy Stewart.
I have to say, I think you're in danger of forgetting who's the bloody kings.
King, you are just one king.
Aye, yes, I am. And so I'll decide what I'm called. Thank you very much.
Of course, Your Majesty.
My lords, ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding for His Majesty, King Mr. James Stewart II and the Quartereth.
John,
mm-hmm.
You do realise when James became King of England, he'd already been King of Scotland for 36 years.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I did a project on him.
Well, at school?
No.
Well, I could go back and rewrite the sketch.
You probably should, yeah.
Or I could just put this bit in at the end.
That is what you usually do.
Yeah. Because I'm the bloody king.
Good evening, truckers and trucker women. My name is Lee Delamere, and here's a little ditty I wrote as I was running an 8-tonne Scania full of wooden pallets from Hartlepool to the port of Tyne. Driving my lorry, I'm always so sorry, to stop for some fuel and a pie. The truck stops at Britain, leave me far from smitten, and here are a few reasons why. The concrete curbs they've just put in the cheap lip, that always seem to bugger up your rims. The speed bumps down at Scratchwood that reduce your load to Matchwood, and that pig's ear of a slip road at South Mimms. The lorry bays they have at Newton Pagnell are very near as frightful as the food. Go there in an Arctic and you'll have a job. To park it in a rigid, you are absolutely screwed. Miserable truck stops, why so cruel to me? All I want is coffee, a pasty and a pea. How I hate the truck stops, all of them are crap. I'm no fan of Thurrock and I do mind Watford Gap. The sausage rolls at Kinross are kin dreadful. The sandwiches at Sandbeck need a priest. And the pies they serve at Heston give you such bad indigestion, you will have it still at Leicester Forest East. Miserable truck stops, why so cruel to me? All I want is coffee, a pasty and a pea. How I hate the truck stops, where I stop my truck. If this is where the buck stops, then what a silly buck. Thank you very much.
John Finnemore's Souvenir Programme was written and performed by John Finnemore with Margaret Caborn-Smith, Simon Kane, Laurie Lewin and Harry Quinlan. Original music was written and performed by Susanna Pierce. The producer was Ed Morrish and it was a BBC Studios production.
Well, since you asked me for a story of a fortune teller, I did once come across a poor creature who seemed blessed or cursed with uncanny knowledge of that which is yet to be, knowledge for which they had paid, alas, with their wits. A strange, God-forsaken wretch it was, ever to be found huddled in blankets in the doorway of a Whitechapel opium den, age and gender utterly indiscernible, cackling and crooning to itself its visions of the future. But one day as I passed, a bony arm shot out and clutched my coat. Revolted, yet transfixed, I turned. What would you with me, creature? Have you some message? Some vision of things which are yet to come? Feverishly, the creature nodded, rolled its mad, milky eyes, pressed its dry, fetid lips to my ear, and spoke.